Okay, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. Andy's going to read our main verse, which is 2 Kings 4, 32 through 37. Casey, read 2 Kings 4, 31. Christian, read Matthew 9, 36. Johnny, 2 Kings 4, 33. Eli, 2 Kings 4, 34. Nathan, Mark 1, 41. And Jake, read Mark 6, 56. We've been looking at Elisha, the life of Elisha, going through, and we're going to slowly work through his life. And what we're looking at is leadership lessons. What makes someone effective in leadership? And that's the purpose of this. So, just by way of illustration, researcher Tiffany Field, who's a leader in the field of touch, found that premature newborns that received just 3 15-minute sessions of touch therapy for 5 to 10 days gained 47% more weight than premature infants who'd received standard medical treatment. So there's something about the personal touch that makes impact. The story that we're going to read is a great leadership lesson because it is Gehazi who is a disciple. He's a learner. He's learning to be a man of God. He is ineffective, but Elisha is effective. So what is the difference? And we're going to see here that involves a personal touch. 2 Kings 4, 32 through 37.
When Elisha came into the house, there was a child lying dead in his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of the men, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, on his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child. And the pulse of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out.
Okay, so we're looking at the personal touch. Let's begin. Let's talk about ministry at a distance. For some people, the idea of ministry is attractive, but sometimes we can have selfish motivation. Some people, they're simply wanting attention. Others may view ministry to people as a means to power, or others would think of it as money. You know, what are people going to do for me? So how you approach ministry is all about people. If you want to be a man of God, there are many things that you have to do, but essentially it is ministry is people, and that's something that is important. If we go into ministry and we have selfish motivations of various kinds, or we are selfish with people, that really is going to affect our ministry. 2 Kings 4:31.
And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, for there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child was not awakened." Awake.
Okay, so here's Gehazi, who actually does what he's supposed to. Right? So it's not like Gehazi was, he's out robbing banks and he's a serial killer on the side, and then he gets involved in ministry and it doesn't work. Essentially, up to this point, we don't see anything terribly wrong with him. He does technically what he's supposed to do. Elisha, it'd be like a picture of his pastor, gives him instructions. This is what you're to do. He does it, but he's not effective. And so I want you to think about this. His approach to a boy in need is at a distance. We understand the staff, the rod is a stick. You know, this is symbolic, and we understand that's authority. But his approach to ministry was at a distance. You got this stick. I don't know how far away he was from the boy, but at a distance, he puts the stick on the boy's face. No. And nothing happens. So, Elisha's, we read, is a very different approach here. So, if your approach to ministry, which is people, if at heart you don't have a heart for people, you're going to struggle to be effective. Because ministry at a distance doesn't work. We know that we read of the disciples who said to Jesus when the thousands gathered, send them away. So they're disciples learning how to be men of God, which is ministering to people. So people come and they say, Jesus, can you get rid of these people? So there's some issues of selfishness. So in modern day, the modern day versions of this is you have people who, someone gets saved, and once they make a decision, you know, did you follow up on that person? Yeah, I sent them a text. I think that's kind of the modern day version. Technology is we would love technology to do ministry for us. I sent out an email blast. And so that is ministry at a distance, or there are, I think it was last year, year before, kind of moved through where I'm speaking to pastors, and so they're all excited about an app. They're going to have an app that is somehow going to minister to the people, or if you have a Facebook page or this internet site, that is going to make you effective. So, if you're a disciple, let me say something to you. Some of you have come, and I want to be a disciple. I want God to use my life. What do I have to do to be a disciple? And one of the things that I tell you is, you must be involved with people. That is crucial. You want to be a man of God, you must be involved with people. Think about this. We have all kinds of ministries in the church. Some of them are on the technical side. Right? I'm involved with, sound. I run a camera, video, or I play in a band, or I do something that actually doesn't really involve people. You want to be a disciple? That's not going to work. I can tell you fundamentally, when my wife and I, we decided we wanted to do the will of God, one of the things is we deliberately involved ourselves with new converts, with people, because that's what ministry is all about. So if we're wanting God to use our lives, but there's inherent selfishness, and we don't really have a compassion, because that's what really this story is about, the difference between Elisha and Elijah is compassion. If you're lacking compassion, you're going to be lacking the blessing of God. Because here's the bottom line. People can tell whether you care. Verse 26, I didn't take the time to give this out, but when this woman, what the background of the story, if you don't know it, the Shunammite, her son, who was a miracle in the first place, he dies. There's nothing more heart-rending than this. And they see her coming. Elisha says, go ask her what's wrong, because he knows this is out of the ordinary. Gehazi is the technical disciple. And he comes out, he says, hey, pastor wants to know what's wrong, and she won't even talk to him. So why not? Because she probably could sense that this guy doesn't care. To him, it's just simply simply business. This is very important. One of the reasons why you need to work with people, because working with people is from the heart, which we'll talk about, but it also is it is a skill. It's an ability. Think about what we do. In our fellowship, we pioneer churches. That means that we send men out. There's no one there. You are going to meet people on the street. Hi, you've never met me. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me. And I want you to come, and you're going to come to my house, to my little rented hall, to my little storefront building. And we're not really good at singing, and the building's not impressive. The program's not impressive. And you're going to come, and you are going to join with us, and your whole life's going to change. Think about how outrageous that is. Jesus Christ wants you to surrender your life, but you don't know me. So one of the things that a simple little lesson about ministry is, we want people, ultimately we're pointing them to fall in love with Jesus. But I want to tell you, if you can't get people to like you, you're never going to get to the point where they fall in love with Jesus. So this is a crucial element. And so now you're not in a program of hundreds standing up and, you know, we want to welcome you to the Potter's House. No, it's you face to face across the living room. And so this is an important thing. So people can tell whether you care. That's why you have to build this in. The other thing is God can tell. In this story, this is a story of the rod of authority is actually prayer. Go pray for the boy. That's what actually he's saying there. Remember, when we're reading, Old Testament is physical. New Testament, it's spiritual. Fortunately, I don't have to give you a stick and say, go down to the Park Plaza with this stick. And when you see a sinner, put this stick in their face. Right? So this is spirit. So what he's really saying is, Gehazi, go pray for the boy. That's what he was doing. Laying the stick was praying. Nothing happened. So God can tell. So God paid attention to Elisha, not Gehazi. And I think this is one of the issues. If God is the God of love, it really does matter to him whether or not we love. That's a very important issue. And so verse 31 says, the child did not awake. So let's talk secondly about personal ministry. So, ministry is, it has to flow from the heart. Ministry is not a technique. It's not a matter of, I can give you these, you pass this test. It's not a matter of, say these words. It really does have to flow from your heart. Matthew 9:36.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd.
Okay, so here is Jesus, and it's describing his approach to ministry. He's looking at people, and the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. He cared. So really, one major difference between Elisha and Gehazi, here's a leadership lesson, Elisha cared. Had a story told about one of our young pastors. He was pastoring. Things weren't really going well. And then over time, God really began to bless them. So someone asked him, what was the difference? You were in ministry. Wasn't working. Now it is working. What made the difference? And he was honest for a moment, and he said, you know what, my wife and I, when we went into the ministry, we didn't really like people very much. So they're outreaching, they're praying, they're following up, they're doing things. It's not working. And he said, really, that was a heart issue. There is no app for that. It has to come from the heart. He said, we didn't really care. And they talked to God and got that right. And now, same outreaches, same prayer meetings, something's different. Compassion. So, you have to settle this with God for yourself. I can't, obviously I could see, I could look at some indicators, but essentially, no one can look into your heart. And, I don't have a detector that I can tell whether you care or not. You have to settle this with God. And this is something that, Pastor Mitchell says, pray to God, give me a burden for souls and a love for people, because that's the essence. Ministry flows from the heart. What is in your heart? So, back to our scripture. Our scripture shows us the need for a personal touch in ministry. 2 Kings 4:33.
He went in, therefore he shut the door upon them. He prayed unto Jehovah, or the Lord.
Okay, so here's one of the things here. The Bible says he went in and he shut the door. It is a mistake to view ministry as being only public. Right? Microphone time. That's ministry. If I have a microphone, I'm ministering. There are things that you have to settle between you and God. This is you got to shut the door and settle this issue with God. This is not a photo op. Right? Elisha wasn't a politician. He's like, I'm praying for the boy. He shut the door. This is personal. Verse 34.
And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm.
Okay, so here's again physical in the Old Testament. So the Bible says he had to stretch himself out. I'm thinking that's indicating to us this didn't come automatically. There are things that don't come automatically. You have to stretch yourself. And one of those may be compassion, working with people. It may be a stretch for us. Then commitment. Anytime you work with people, there has to be a commitment to it, because they might not immediately respond. It's not informational. It takes a miracle, and that may take time. So, our job in ministry, if you want to be a man of God, is to create an environment for a personal touch. That's accessibility. That is the that is part of ministry, that people can speak to you, ask you questions. That's ministry. In the altar ministry, I think we did a whole lesson on this, but we believe that. We put people in touch with God at the altar, and sometimes that involves creating ways to, literally, to the Bible speaks about the laying on of hands, to touch people, a personal touch, not simply a website. Mark 1:41.
Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed.
Okay, so this is Jesus, and you know how radical this would be, the leper touching. It's personal. It has to do with personally praying for people. That is an important part. We have people before the service. Can you pray for me? After the service, can you pray for me? Well, we could say, look, call our phone-in prayer line. Leave a message. Email your prayer request. But there's something about ministry. The laying on of hands is a personal touch. It has to do with follow-up. As I said, you can't follow up on people solely by text. That's not going to work. There has to be a personal touch. Nothing beats face-to-face. Then, one more lesson out of this is that you have to work with people on their level. And verse 34 says he began to get warm, and then he sneezes seven times. So in other words, it was not just a matter of be healed and the boy leapt out of bed. What this is indicating, there was a process. It doesn't tell us how long, how much time this took, but the point was, it was not an instant leaping out of bed, I'm healed and now I'm going back to see mom. So, this tells us when you're working with people, compassion means you work with them on their level. And that is a crucial lesson of ministry, is you will have people who come at all levels of ministry. Most of you God helps you in the beginning is he allows you to work with people who don't get it and allows you to struggle. That's actually a gift from God. He's helping you. Because he's teaching you, not everybody responds. If you'll be persistent like Elisha was, this is what happened to my wife and I had people, you know, who give you false addresses, people who didn't want to leave their sin, you know, people who lied to you, people went back to their, you know, all kinds of craziness. And then finally a good convert, because we had to learn. It actually would have been bad for us if the very first person we worked with immediately said, yes, I'm going to come to all three services, I'll be at prayer in the morning, can I tithe? That would have been bad for us, because from then on, every person we worked with, we'd have been like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not like the other guy? He tithed from day one. Right? So you got to work with people where they're at. And part of that is not expecting too much too soon. There are some people, this is their idea of follow-up. You've prayed with someone into some level. God touched their heart. You were able to pray with them at Harkins Theater on outreach, you know, personal witnessing on the job. And so some people, they think now their duty is, now let me tell you, 676 things that need to change by Tuesday. That's not, you got to work with people at their level. That's an important lesson. Finally, let's look at ministry results. So, our scripture shows what happens when you have ministry with it that involves a personal touch. Number one, there's a supernatural dimension. This is what ministry is all about. God has to do something. This is not a technique. Ministry is not sales techniques, right? It's not meeting, it's not me teaching you. You know, when you see somebody and they're kind of overweight, you look at them and go, are you losing weight? You're looking good. It's not a technique. This boy is dead. This will take a miracle. Go put the staff, him, this whole, is actually a strange story here, him stretching himself out. What they're doing is they're praying. And at the end of the day, what we need is when we pray or minister to people, God has to do a miracle. And part of this flows from, remember, Gehazi doesn't work because he doesn't care. Elisha does work. And part of that, I think, is because of compassion. Verse 35, the child came alive. So there's a supernatural dimension. The other thing is the inspiration of personal ministry. One of the things that happens, if you care about people, that is going to give you influence with people. That's an important part. We read in the Bible, Jesus would heal one person. He heals the leper. And then the word spread. And then you'll read about all these other people. Jesus touched the leper, remember? Did you hear? Man, he touched the leper. And he doesn't have leprosy anymore. But then you'll read of all these other people who then were trying to touch Jesus. So it gave him an influence. The woman with the issue of blood. And then Mark 6:56.
Wherever he entered into the villages or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment.
Okay, this is Jesus who had compassion. People are drawn to someone who has compassion because that is what they desperately need in life. So that means people who are touched by compassion are the most likely then to spread the word. And so that is a ministry lesson. A personal touch has to do with compassion. Okay, let's open for questions. Something you want to ask now. Eli?
I'm currently enjoying the gift that you spoke about where people aren't responding. What I have a really hard time with is knowing when to quit on somebody. Where, I mean, not permanently, but when there's a guy you got to hunt down, got to, you know, find a way to change his phone number to and knock on his door and you bring him to church. And it's like there's people that I can get to church. I can get them in the building, but I feel like I'm practically carrying them there. And I wonder when I'm supposed to part of me wants to say, you know what, the person doesn't want it. I'm not, leave them alone. But then part of me is like, well, what, you know, what if they just need a little bit more time to catch on? Like,
yeah. So that's again, things that don't have an app, you got to pray. You know, and there is a sensitivity of people that you have to, you know, ministry involves persistence, but neither should you be a stalker. So, 3 a.m. are you coming to church? So, you know, there does come a point where you can back off. That may be temporary, you know, temporary. You got to pray. That's the essence, because no one, you have to feel these things. Working with people is a matter of feel. In one sense, it is a skill, right? You know, when you come up close to someone's face and they're backing up from you, that means you're too close, right? So you start learning the signals. That is a skill. But then there is what we're talking about in working with people. It is a spiritual thing that you have to sense. There are some people, it's just, it don't matter how many times you go, they're not going to respond. They're not into it. Fine. So you begin to back off that person. But then there are people that we have backed off, but we feel pride. I need to call them again. I need to go visit them again. And that, you know, simply if you're working with somebody who is absolutely not responding, the frequency, there's only so many hours in a day. So you gotta, you obviously can't give the same amount of time to someone who totally is non-responsive. Right? Andy?
As far as text messaging, it's so easy sometimes. I find myself doing that, is I'll text a friend like, hey man, how you doing? Just kind of follow up by text or calling them. So in that area, is it better to just, you know, maybe invite them out to eat, just hang out with them, like you said, showing them that you care, rather than just, because I find myself doing that at times, and oh, I thought about this person, and then you send them a text, and it's just, you know, there's no personal touch, like you said. How would you create that personal touch?
Yeah, so my point is you can't rely on that. It becomes laziness, right? So I am loving, you know, send. It's a substitute. So obviously we live in an age of technology that, you know, being able to track somebody down or you can certainly keep more frequent touch. So I'm not denying that there is value in that, but when you're relying on it to replace human contact, that's not healthy.
I have a couple friends who I either went to high school with or I worked with before. And I used to hang out with them in the name of, like, I want to bring these guys to church. I was witnessing to them, and I was witnessing to them. But I found myself hanging out with them a lot because I wanted to, you know, gain more of a relationship with them. So what's the balance of hanging out with somebody and going out to eat without being influenced by them, or without, you know, do you want to control the environment, or do you want to hang out just on your terms, or... I wasn't going to the bar with them, but I was, you know, just hanging out and with his group of friends, you know, this one guy in particular, and I did see it affect me a little bit. It was, you know, harder to make stands when it's, you know, 4 guys and then me, and then I'm just, you know, the Christian guy there, but I was trying to, you know, gain a relationship with him and meet him where he's at, and not just, oh, I'm only going to hang out with you if you're coming to church.
Yeah. So, the problem with the question is that may be different for every person. I can't give you an answer. It may be different for every person, because one person is influenced more than another, and then that may be a timing issue, right? When I first got saved, I had to make a very clear stand. Hanging out with my friends that I've been partying with was not going to be that was not a workable solution, right? Maybe at a later time, that would have been different. So, again, working with people on any level, you have to pray for wisdom. That's my number one prayer. Is God, you got to give me wisdom. I have to sense things. I have to feel things. And so part of that is part of the answer to your question is that you have to know yourself, I think. So that's the key.
So obviously we're talking about effectiveness in like keeping lasting fruit and stuff like that. Does this also, and it seems like this story is specifically this, does this apply to healing as well? because Elisha cared more, the kid actually got healed? Or that he cared and Gehazi was just going through the motions? Or
yeah, it, you know, obviously it could. I think compassion affects a lot of things. Obviously, the overall is God loves people. If we love people, that pleases God, right? So I think it affects everything. So you speaking to people, you praying for people at a distance, you praying for people personally for healing, I think it will affect everything. I don't think you can see, healing is, of course, the person. There's all kinds of things. I don't think that we can look and say, hey, you prayed for somebody, they didn't get healed. Clearly, you don't love people. So, yeah. A lot of things, have you noticed that a lot of things in the Bible are not clear cut and come with checklists because it's not meant to? You're meant to wrestle through these things. How do I don't know. You have to work that out. Right? How do I be effective? So God does not intend for it to be a technical, if you say this, if you do this, if you, you know, that is exactly what will bring. You have to work it out in yourself. And that's a frustrating part of ministry.
How do you know when you are operating in compassion versus routine that when it don't work the first time, you don't condemn yourself?
How do you know? Well, okay. Number one, let me say something about compassion. I don't know anybody who operates in full compassion every day, right? We have the story of Jesus ministering to people, and he said, "Virtue is gone out of me." So compassion, you definitely can have compassion depletion. So, and you should not feel bad about that. Right, so there are times I've told the story. I used to pastor in South Africa, and so at first, when I first went there, and I'm out in what they call a township. So here's tin shacks, here's people who believe in ancestor worship. So they have chickens that they're going to sacrifice to their dead relatives, and so here's dirt. And at first I was like, man. Look at this. I tell them, look at the dirt. Look at the chickens. This is, you know, we got to do something about this. But it was like be 2 years before I'd go to conference. And by that time, I'd come out and I was like, all I'm seeing is dirt and stinking chickens, you know. It's just, you know what I mean? So that's human nature. You have to recognize that there comes a point at which they're telling you, my life's a mess, my head's about to fall off, and you're looking at them going, yeah. Well, okay, and your point is. So we can't keep on living like that. So compassion is, I minister or time goes by, I recognize that my compassion has been depleted, so I go to the only one who can fix that. God, this is not good. I can't keep ministering to people like this. This is not healthy. So you have to help me. I go to God, I go to conference, something would happen. I'm now refreshed, I'm energized. Now I have... God has given me a compassion infusion. So, in one sense, you have to be realistic. So the answer to your question is, in number one, you can't condemn yourself if you're expecting perfection. And we'll talk about that in Sunday school this morning, about if you are a perfectionist, that's a difficult way to live. You can't be perfectionist expecting of other people or yourself. So there are ups and downs in life, and that's very normal. There are people that are self-condemning as a general rule. Nothing I do is good enough. I'm always a failure. That often is rooted in something that needs to be healed inside. Right? So if a person, I'm just speaking in general terms. If people who have been rejected in life, that is something that at some point they have to ask God to heal that. Because then, when you have suffered rejection, the message is, someone gave us the message, you are not worth enough. So then you, if you don't fix that, then you go through all of life always feeling condemned. Right? I read my Bible, but it wasn't enough. Right? I gave money, but it wasn't enough. I'm, you know, so if you're, and you, that can be in compassion. If I'm, you know, reaching out, caring for people, but it wasn't enough, that's clearly an unhealthy way to live. So you got to fix the source. That's like, I have pain in my body, but why do I have pain? An aspirin won't fix it. If, you know, if you got cancer, you got to fix the cancer, right? So I don't know if that...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I covered some ground there.
So would you say key to this is our relationship with God, because He is so compassionate. As, you know, as we get closer to God, that's going to be a natural outflow in our lives, and we'll develop that as well. And of course, like you said, just to pray for God, give us that burden.
Yeah. So number one, you have to get it as a fundamental dimension, and number two, you have to maintain it. So your relationship with God is going to be crucial as a whole. So, you know, for me, there was a definite point in my life to where I recognized I didn't have it, although I had the maintenance. I went to prayer every morning. I read my Bible, etc. So I needed a fundamental miracle of God to change my heart. Then it's a matter of maintaining after that, yeah. Anybody else? Answered all the mysteries of the universe. Come on, Johnny, I can see you. You're trying here, aren't you? Come on, brain. Must think.